At $200, a Super Nintendo setup costs twice as much as the old system. For the money, the company promises better pictures, sound, and adventure. Now you're playing with power, superpower.
You're the king, I tell you! You're the king!
Only for Super NES.
You're listening to the SNES Broadcast with your host, Soul Blazer.
Hello, everybody. This is Super NES Podcast, episode number 232. I am Greg, joined by always by Joe.
Hello.
And this time, we decided to kind of get into the spirit of things with the spirit of things, like baseball season just had recently started with this the time of us recording this episode. And Joe, being more amicable to sports games than past co-hosts I had, we had to go back and look at look at the Super Bases Loaded series on Super NES, which our original plan was only to do the first game, but then I realized that 2 and 3 are pretty similar too. So Flex Bates then just to bundle all three games together in one package for you all. So here we are. So I am a big sports fan. Football is probably my favorite sport, but I enjoy all sports pretty equally. And so I spent a lot of time playing baseball games as a kid. The RBI baseball series on the NES was my favorite, but I also did spend a lot of time playing the Bases Loaded games. Actually, only the first three. Actually, I never actually knew until doing research for this that there actually was a Bases Loaded 4 for the system. So I totally missed that. But anyway. So I never played, however, the Bases Loaded games, the Super NES, because there were other baseball games on the system I was playing at the time, such as like Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball, and stuff like that. So, do you have any experience at all with baseball games, Joe?
So, I had the black series baseball by Nintendo for the NES. I remember playing RBI baseball for the NES. I believe I had Bases Loaded 1, maybe, and 2 at some point for the NES, but that was really the extent of baseball games. By the time I got my Genesis, I was thinking of playing anything but sports games. by that time, I had already kind of grown out of the whole, playing T-ball and
which
going
is ironic
through Little League.
Yeah, which is ironic because Genesis was known for, and they advertised heavily, the sports game Sega system.
Yeah, they did.
Drum Montana football was very good for today and age.
Yes, yes. And you know what? I'd never played a sports title on the Genesis other than, Mutant League Football or something
The boxing game was very good, too. What was it called? Was that the Holyfield game? I think it
was. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's also very good. So, yeah, it's funny. You buy a system that's known for a genre that you never touched.
Yeah. So a lot of the baseball stuff I played was on the NES, and that's kind of where it stayed for the most part. Up until obviously, once PlayStation came out.
Yes.
Or I should say the Saturn. So once I went from Genesis to Saturn. Once I got to the Saturn, Saturn was kind of slim as far as pickings went, as far as games to begin with. But then, when I got the system, it was by the time they released the Model 2. So they were, giving away Daytona USA, Virtua Cop, and Virtua Fighter 2, in the box with the system. They were just trying to get the system sold. The system had been out for a few years at that point, so there was a plethora of sports games that you could get relatively affordably.
Sure.
So I gravitated towards World Series Baseball on the Sega Saturn, and absolute fantastic series, in my opinion. They had World Series Baseball 1 and 2, and then they did away with the 1 and 2s and went 1998 for some reason for the last entry. But those guys who developed that game eventually went on to do the Sega Sports games, which then turned into 2K Sports and has been going on strong to this day. So, rich history there.
Yes.
But yeah, that's, and to be honest, like nowadays it's like the show.
Yeah, the show is very good. Yeah, I still buy modern baseball games, for, but not every year. It's like I buy one like every like 2-3 years. But
yeah, for the most part, you don't have to upgrade. You know, it's not like it used to be where they would actually add things every year. Now it's kind of like roster update
and graphical changes usually.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. So speaking about the Saturn, it's actually like a pretty good segue because it's like. There was actually eight base loaded games made out together throughout the history of the series. And like the series started off, as we said, for base loaded on the NES, with there are 4 games for it. Then there are 3 games on it for the Super NES. And then the final game in the series was a game called 96 Double Header, which came over the Saturn PlayStation. So that the full title actually was Bases Loaded 96. So so the swan song of the series was actually the Saturn, which I didn't know about.
Yeah, I didn't know about this either. I happened to I stumbled across it when I was looking up stuff on Bases Loaded, 1, 2, and 3 here, but also I set off mic that, I had been setting up RetroArch on my Steam Deck, and I happened to come across a ROM set that had this game in it, and I was like, at some point I'm going to have to play it.
So that was the only game in the series, by the way, which was not made by Tosei. Tosei was the developers of most of the base loaded games, including these three we're covering here on the podcast. We've already talked about Tosei in the past. I won't really spend much time on them. Tosei is best known for just like it's the Game Watch Game Watch games and also Dragon Ball games that they made over the years. So, but these were all published by Jalco. Jalco, which is the short form of the full name of the company, the Japan Leisure Company, in case anybody was wondering, was a pretty big publisher back in the day. They're defunct these days. We've already talked about them. I've talked about them in the past. I won't spend too much time on it, but they. Most of their games they bought by their studio, so they're still licensing out Jalco games this day to show up in collections and platforms and whatnot. So let's get into it. All three of these games are very similar in some ways because obviously they're all baseball games. They all play pretty much the same, but they also differ. They also differ in some significant ways, more ways than I expected before I started going into these games. So we're going here. The first game, Super Bases Loaded, which came out in Japan in May of 91 and came out in North America in September 1991. So very early Super NES game. It was endorsed by Ryan Sandberg, who was pretty popular baseball player at the time. However, this game did not have the licensing of either the Major League Baseball or the Major League Baseball Player Association, which meant they could not use either real team names or real player names. So what they did is they took several major cities, such as like Atlanta, Boston, New York, whatever, added in a couple of new cities like Hawaii, Utah, and then like just basically like assign them team names, and the rosters are varied. I don't think the team uses any kind of the teams use any kind of like even close to professional player stats, but there is a good mix of players. Just like in real life, there are good teams and bad teams in this game. So, part of the fun is figuring out who's strong where and what you want to do and that kind of stuff. So, some of the team names are pretty funny. I remember when Chris joined us on a co-host spot recently. He said he did play Super Bases Loaded games quite a lot, and his favorite team was the Atlanta Amoebas, which is a pretty weird name for a team name. But most of these names I think are okay, but that's the most weird one that they gave to it. So, but you can also add your own team in this game too. So, it is kind of like Electric's credit. So. The graphic engine this game uses is very similar to the base loaded engine on the NES. When you're hitting or pitching, the perspective is to have the pitcher on the bottom and the batter on the top. And then when you're in the outfield, however, the perspective is to have, contrary to many baseball games at the time, is to have home plate at the top of the screen and the outfield down toward the bottom, which took some getting used to. Because 90% of other baseball games I played had been the other way around. So I don't know why they chose that angle for this game, but they did. So, as far as the pitcher mount, the pitcher batter mount perspective, however, it's pretty evenly split, I think between like top or bottom of the screen as far as baseball games is how they want to do it. So,
yeah.
So it has a lot of baseball touches. It has the stats, the name and the number of the hitter and the batter who's currently up, has a score. There's music that plays all throughout the game, which was a curious touch. We can get into that here, in a bit. Pretty good sound effects, I think also. There's voice in this game. The hitting sounds sound pretty good. The voices are right for an early Super NES game. Graphics are pleasing for an early Super NES game. I mean, they're not great, but the players are large. They're well animated. Controls, I thought, were okay once you get the hang of it. I think they kind of play, once you get the feel of like trying to figure out when to swap players and when to jump and when to dive and that kind of stuff, it works all right. These games all have the benefit of being faster than a real baseball game, so they feel like they bet like going for it. So, they did make rules this year. This year speed the game up a little bit, which I think has helped, but all video game sports games are going to play faster than the real life counterparts because there's no like timeouts, commercials, that kind of stuff. Right. So it only takes about maybe like about a half an hour or so to play a full game in this one. Which I appreciate. You also have a two-player mode. You also have a watch mode. We can watch the AI play against one another and the edit function we already mentioned. Nothing really amazing compared to the basic loaded game on NES. It's just pretty much like a graphical update. And that's pretty much it. But it's still based upon a solid formula, I thought. So I thought this was like a pretty good baseball game like for its time. So what do you think overall about the game, Joe?
All right. So I agree with everything you said. What surprises me is that you did not mention that killer versus screen that looks like it's straight out of Mortal Kombat, which is fantastic. It's one of the things I love about this game is like that versus screen is literally everything. Real baseball should start implementing that. I should write to the MLB and let them know that they've been missing out for the past 40 years on this. Other than that, like I said, I agree. Like, I like the graphics. They're a bit cartoony, but also this is an early SNES.
They were always cartoony on the NES too. Right. So it's like, it's more of the same, really, pretty much from the NES entries.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I would, if I had to explain this to someone who had never played the Super Nintendo games, but had played the NES games. I'd just tell you that this is the NES's big brother. One of the aspects of this game that I found interesting is so you're playing your opponent, but the object isn't just to beat them; it's to trounce them, and in such a way that you basically have a perfect game. And that's how you move forward. The object of this game isn't just to win, it's to achieve a perfect game. And it explains, with the stats and how that can be achieved and whatnot. But,
also the opening message, yep.
Yes, yeah. And it just keeps getting more difficult and more difficult and more difficult and more difficult, as you go on. I think I only played like three games. I think I actually quit before the third game ended. But it took a while to get used to the controls. Timing is everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, this game, I don't know if it was the first one, but this one does incorporate English, not only in the pitching, but also in the batting. Fielding is probably the worst part of this game. This is much like the NES games, and it's the same argument I had with those games as well, and it's the fact that everybody kind of moves together, and it only controls the guy who's closest to the ball. And, yeah, I mean, outside of that, like, it's baseball, man. Like, you're going to be swinging at that ball, more than likely striking out most of the time. If not, you're going to be hitting fouls. When you do make contact and get it into the field, more than likely will be an out or will be a ground out. Occasionally, you'll get a home run. And when you do get a home run, you'll get a nice little animation on the scoreboard and stuff like that. And it's cool. It's baseball, man. This is like, I don't want to say it's the truest form of baseball, but as far as video baseball goes, like at this time, like this is kind of the best you could get. And I don't hate it. I like the fact that they, you know, so I grew up with a Game Boy, okay? And with the Game Boy, I had Play Action Football, which I know this is a bit of a tangent, but go with it with me.
It's fine. This is a sports game podcast. So.
It had no affiliation with the NFL. It had no player association, none of that. So it's just some black dots on a green screen and some made-up names. And you had like six teams to choose from. And of course, it's all the popular ones. You got a San Francisco team, a Dallas team. They said Boston instead of New England, New York, Chicago. And I think the other one was Miami. But like, no, nothing else. Like, it was just the abbreviations for those states, for those cities. And like, no mention of like mascots or anything like that. At least here, there's a little bit more personality and I would say effort put into this, whereas on that, you know, aforementioned Game Boy game, they didn't even try. So I'm with Chris. Atlanta Amoebas is amazing. I thought the Texas Tornadoes was fantastic as well, and the New York Mercs also fantastic. So, and the Washington Weasels, that was the other one that I really liked.
Yeah,
so,
I played a lot as Boston, which was a mistake, because Boston's not a really good team in this game.
Yeah. So, it's baseball, man. And I already said that, but, like, you're going to hear that a lot, because guess what? Bases loaded 2 and 3, it's baseball.
Yeah, for the most part, I agree with you. It's like, it was a good baseball game when it came out. I think nowadays there definitely are better, even the retro baseball games. I think 2 and 3 are better games than this, but it's not like a bad game. It just simply just more of the same. Like I just said, it's just like, you know, but there wasn't anything. It really wasn't until 2 or 3 that Jalico started messing around with the formula a little bit, which we'll get into. So, but yeah, this is just pretty much more of the same. The only thing I'm really not sure about the music. I kind of it's like the music does help keep it like entertaining, but it's like music. The music in a baseball game just feels like so out of place. It's like because it's like you usually only hear little ditties when players go to the bat or whatnot, and it's like which 2 and 3 have. But it's like just have music all the time. In this game is a little bit of an odd choice, I thought.
Yeah. So I didn't mind it. I looked at it this way, like today with modern baseball games, and I mean modern as in anything that was basically made from like 2000 onward, we've had commentary, like full on commentary, like a real baseball game.
And
you don't need that ambient noise because you have the crowd sound, you have the commentary calling the pitches, calling the action on the field. You weren't getting that here. So I think that the music kind of fills that void of what would have been literally just, what are you going to hear? Like an occasional from the crowd and then an occasional crack of a bat. Like, I don't know. Like it was one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I think they were better to put the music in than to not have anything and just have it be completely silent when you play. Right. Just my opinion.
Which we'll get into again later on, because 2 and 3 mostly did that for the most part. So, right. So we'll talk about that. But, yeah. So, yeah, just So yeah, that's basically loaded for you. It's a pretty, like, you know, simple, the simple game. Like I said, nothing very complex. They didn't really reinvent anything from, like, the NES. So we might as well take care of the optional stuff now, since we're covering the whole series. This is the only game to have an Easter egg. You can use on the title screen, if you hold L and R, you're able to move the ball around. You move the ball around like on the control screen, like on the D-pad, if you want to. Just a small Easter egg. None of the other games have an Easter egg, so. The reviews of this game that came out were mostly positive. So three magazines I never heard of gave reviews of the game: Ace, Raze, like Enforce. And they gave 79, 84, 85% respectively. So, they said mostly that, the graphics and the voices are kind of the weakest parts of the game, which I agree with. But, for an early Super NES game, I think this was one of the, if not the first Super Baseball game of the system. So, as I mentioned before, Genesis had far and away far better sports games. You know, even I agree with that. But yeah. as far as baseball games on the Super NES, this was not a bad start. So, but anyway, so yeah, that's basically loaded for you. But anything else about this game before we move on, Joe?
Nope, just expect more of the same.
Super Baseball Loaded 2 actually does go through some significant changes, because it came out because they one of the things I found curious about this game was that it came out very the game was developed and came out very rapidly in Japan. It got released in Japan back in August of 92, but for some reason Jalico did not bring it over to North America until February of 94. Why they delayed so long, I don't know, but I think the fact that they waited a year and a half did hurt the game in some ways, which I'm sure that we'll get into. But they tried to do some additions and updates like this game. One of the major things is this game has battery backup. So with that, you're able to save statistics, like your teams and your players as well too. So. They're still using fictional teams and rosters. Some of the same names from the first game, some new ones. But they did expand the leagues a little bit. You have the Alpha League and the Mega League instead, like this one. So and you can also there's also like four teams that you can also edit like this game's Flight as well too. So. They changed the perspective, for the batter pitching screen. They have the batters on the bottom, the pitchers on the top. I've always preferred this perspective. If you give me a choice, I'll pick this one, because I find it easier both to hit and also to pitch when the batter's on the bottom.
I agree.
A lot of baseball games do it the other way around, which I'm all right with, but if it's up to me, I find this way easier. And for the outfield, thank God they revert to the more traditional like home plate on bottom, infield up top look that most baseball games do. So as far as perspectives go, this game's my favorite as far as perspectives that was used like in the game. You're able to pick from three stadiums in this game, which are all based upon real life stadiums, so even though they can't use the names, of course, for name reasons. Tarragona is based off the Montreal Dome, like the Montreal Expos played. The second one, Carlton Park, is based off of Wrigley Field, and Redmond Field is based upon like Fenway Park. So, the feet lines and the overall look of the fields and the overall like look of the fields, but give it away. So, other changes in this game. They took away the music that plays all the way through like the game. Instead, you have like ditties that play, as new batters' pitchers come up to the plate, like the Jurassic Road game does. So that's pretty good. I think the graphics are actually stepped down this game, believe it or not, because I thought that the game, compared to Base Loaded 1, I thought the players were a little bit smaller. The overall, they weren't as like fine detailed. The overall look of the game was a bit more mushy, I thought, compared to the first game. I guess part of it's because of the fact they're using a new engine. The game came with a DSP chip that they used to give the 3D perspective and whatnot. And I think because they're trying to push the envelope a little bit in that area, it kind of resulted in the graphics having to be a step backwards to get the 3D perspective and everything else they wanted to do, like in this game. So,
yeah, that was one of the things I thought was a highlight in this, game was I liked the little detail that when the player actually swings at the ball, like you can actually see their number on the back of their jersey.
Yeah, I agree. That's nice.
It's a small detail. It means nothing, but also at the same time, like for the Super Nintendo, that's pretty impressive. I thought they did a good job there. But I agree with you. This game's kind of as far as graphics and whatnot are concerned.
As far as gameplay, though, I think I enjoyed this game the most. I thought this game was like very fast paced. I was able to finish most games this one like 20 minutes compared to 30 minutes.
Yeah,
like the other two. Controlling I thought was easier. Fielding I found a bit easier. There were more options available to you. There's always that fine line in sports games, which by modern sports games are always divided between the realistic versus arcade camps. Mm. Where it's like, how realistic can you get in a game before losing its easy to play roots.
Right.
And I think Baseball 2 did a pretty good job of like balancing that line pretty well. I thought between like playability and also like realism like of this game. So overall, yeah, I think if I really had to say, I think I probably had the most fun playing this game.
Yeah, I would agree. This would be the strong pick in my opinion as well. I think the graphics are a little bit better in Super Bases Loaded 3, which we'll get to, but outside of that, gameplay is solid here. And yeah, as far as the three go, this spoiler, this is definitely the one I would pick.
GamePro basically said the same thing like in their review. They're the only major magazine I could find back in the day that gave a review of this game. They pretty much just said the same things. The same thing I said. So they said playability made it like a very like fun, easy game to play.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Now I think like I said, I don't know why Jalco waited so long to bring this game out to the States. I think if this game had come out in 1992, as it did in Japan, it probably would have been like received a lot better than it had been. But because by early 94, some parts of this game, especially the graphics, like kind of dated. I think overall that hurt the game probably like in sales because this game was was probably the most expensive to find on eBay, which indicates that the least copies of it sold. So like I said, I don't know why.
I was going to say, February of 94, that, if I'm correct, 94 is the year Ken Griffey's Baseball came out?
I think so, yeah. I can't remember if it was 93 or 94, but it was definitely around that
time. Yeah, so, I mean, this game's going up against some stiff competition, because I don't know if you've covered Ken Griffey in the past or if we're going to cover it in the future, spoiler, that game's fantastic as far as baseball games go on the Super NES. So
that was my favorite game. Yeah, that was my favorite baseball game playing the system.
If I already have Ken Griffey's Baseball, like why would I even think of this? But like you said, maybe if they had actually released this in 92, and I don't know why they waited so long. Maybe they tried to get the licensing, like for at least the players, which makes sense for the next game. Maybe it's they couldn't come to a decision, so therefore the decision was made, well, we waited long enough, let's put it out with, like we did Bases Loaded 1, and then we'll have everything associated for Bases Loaded 3. That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, possibly. So, not that. But, that said, That said, this game is overlooked, I think, as far as baseball games go. This is still like a pretty good baseball game as far as like retro baseball games go, because I think you know it's very playable. You know, I'd almost go so far as to say this may be the that this may be the Tecmo Bowl as far as the baseball games, just like the Super NES go.
Ooh, okay.
Super Base Loaded 3, full name Super Base Loaded 3, License to Steal. I think Jalico learned from their mistake. They got that game out quickly. The game came out in Japan in December of 94, 2 months later, February 95, but it was out here like in North America. So, they learned, I think, and got the game out quickly. The game still carries 1994 copyright date, because that's when the game came out in Japan. And it does leave the so that's why if you wondered like I did why 2 and 3 both carry the same copyright year, that's why. So but anyway, again, there are some significant changes with Base Loaded 3. One is that they're able to get the license from the Major League Baseball Players Association. So this game does use the actual 1993 player rosters. Felt like in the game with their names, the stats, everything else, including some of the best players who ever played the game are included in this game, such as like Barry Bonds, Kirby Puckett, playing Tony Gwynn. So it's a very good roster. They also expanded the teams to include 28 U.S. cities that had a team at the time. They didn't get the MLB license, so they couldn't use team names, but they were able to use the actual cities. All the baseball teams are in at the time, and the World Series is still not called the World Series; it's just called Championship Tournament. Yeah. Because football was also the same thing. There were two separate licenses: one from the NFL and the one from the Players Association. So you had two games. I had one, but not both. It wasn't until Madden was able to get the rights to both of them, they started having like both things like in one game, which carried on to like the present day. So. Baseball eventually also saw that problem in the late 90s by bundling both licenses like into one package. Flight attendants are like realism and whatnot. So that's a big change. And another big change is that they went back to the perspectives once again changed. And once again, you have a unique combination of perspectives that either one or two had. Because the batter pitcher look, they went back to pitcher on the bottom, batter on the top.
Yeah.
But the outfield look, they kept the more traditional home plate and bottom, outfield the top screen. So all three games have a different perspective as far as field looks, which I found very interesting. So, So this game definitely has the best graphics out of the three. The graphics are very good. They're very sharp. They're very detailed. Mm. You have a lot more stats available to you on screen than you did like the previous games like the series. Sound effects are again very good. Improved a bit, I think. The ditties that they use in this game are even better than the ones that that Base Loaded 2 had, I thought.
Yeah.
The game's speed is slowed down a little bit again. It's back up more of like a 30-minute thing. But I really didn't mind that all that much. So fielding can be set for either auto, semi-auto, or manual, which I thought was great because I usually just left an auto.
Yeah,
same here. Make life easier because as you mentioned, fielding can be a challenge sometimes.
Yeah.
So you are able to play entire season in this game if you want to, which is very long process because you have to play all 162 games. So. But you can see your progress as you go through that. Exhibition allows you to play a quick game. Championship allows you to jump to playoffs. And the MLB, like the MVP game is, of course, the MVP game. So, some other changes. Pitcher roster has been expanded. I think there's some new pitchers available here. The player stats screen has been expanded to show more stats. So, And so again, you're able to get a sense by looking back in 1993 to try to get a sense of what teams are good versus not good teams, since you use the roster of 1993 in this game.
Right.
Sadly, the 1994 season is the one that baseball fans remember as being the strike shortened season. The players and owners couldn't agree on a new contract. They went on strike in August, and that ended the season. It was the first time since 1994 the World Series wasn't played. So unfortunate, but you know, at least you had this game to kind of like fill in the what ifs about what may have happened if the season had continued.
Sure.
So, but yeah, so. Overall, I like this game. I thought this game was very good. It was like very good in graphics. I love the options available to you. The sound effects and music are very good. This game's getting more heavy into the stats area. So if you're not so much of a stats person, this game's not as pick up and play as 1 and 2 is. But that said, I think if you enjoy more sense of realism in your games, this is still like a very good kind of early nod toward realism baseball game. I think this game is my second favorite in the series. I didn't like this as much as two, but I had more fun with this one than one.
Yeah, same. This is obviously the most beautiful one that they have, barring whatever Bases Loaded 96 looks like, because I haven't seen that. But this is the best the series has looked. Like you said, good gameplay. I love the fact that you can have auto fielding. That is such a godsend. That almost makes me want to say this is my favorite, but I already said the second was, so I can't really go back on that now.
Yeah, it's very close to me, because I think the second one just offers a little bit more in terms of playability and fun factor.
Yeah, and you know, this game is fantastic. I think the graphics are great. The animations are fluid. Like, you actually can see the guys running and see the detail in their uniforms. Like, when the pitcher is pitching, you got their number on the back of the jersey. You can see, it looks like almost like, you know, natural wrinkles in the jersey, on the pants. I love the attention to detail. But I agree, this is very stat heavy. And I mean, they even basically advertise that at the beginning of the game. When you boot it up, the title screen comes up and says, like, stats by, and it's like some professional stat thing. So, like, they got something working in the back end that's keeping track of all the stats to begin with. This is, if you are a fan of baseball, this is the baseball game you pick up. That's kind of what they were throwing at you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's baseball. And I know I already said that, but it's true. Like, it's baseball. One other thing I just want to say before we wrap everything up and whatnot, but today you can still kind of play Bases Loaded. Now, hear me out. So, I don't know if you've played this game, Greg, but they have a game series called Super Mega Baseball.
No, I don't.
So, Super Mega Baseball is very much a spiritual successor to, like, Bases Loaded. It has makeup teams. It's all made up players up until, I think, the most recent. Super Mega Baseball 4 actually incorporates some professional players and legends in the game. But originally, it was a bunch of no-names with made-up names. I actually think Independent Studio Metalhead, I think they actually used their names as the player names in the game, which is fantastic. Yeah. But yeah, it's the same sort of thing. You got that interesting angle where you're looking from the pitcher down the pipe to the batter. It's very animated. It's very cartoonish. It is the best mix of arcade and simulation that I think you can get, and I think that's only gotten better as the series has progressed. And I just wanted to bring it up because it's a great series for people who are not serious about baseball.
Okay, I actually never heard of this series.
Yeah,
I'm curious now because it's available on Steam like modern consoles?
Steam, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Series X, I believe even the Switch, but don't quote me.
I was going to say, the Switch should be able to handle a game like this.
Yeah. So.
But
yeah, okay, I just wanted to throw that out there because I love that game, and that was the first thing I thought of when it first came out.
Sure, yeah.
It was first to release, like, 2015, I think, or somewhere around there. And yeah, I picked it up because it was on sale for like a couple bucks on the Xbox store. So I took a chance on it and ended up absolutely loving it because it reminded me of Bases Loaded, which as a kid, that was my baseball game. So,
right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think I'll check it out. Yeah. So I do think Bases Loaded 2 and 3 are still playable today. They even enjoy retro baseball games.
Yeah.
I think those games are still worth playing. Two is more of the arcadey side. Three is more of a sim and also like a great, like, what if 94 season, like simulator game too as well. So, I definitely think that both those games are still playable. Super Bases Loaded 3 got mixed reviews when it came out. GamePro gave it generally positive for all the reasons we mentioned. Next Generation, however, they only gave it 2 out of 5, saying the franchise was starting to get like long in the tooth. Which I can see. If this was the seventh Bases Loaded game that came out after all,
right.
So I mean, like, fundamentally, the games hadn't changed all that much from game to game. So except for like you know perspectives being changed around and graphics being updated and whatnot. So looking at pictures of Bases Loaded, doubleheader. It did not get very good reviews when it came out. The same reasons that they didn't do enough to renovate the series. So, the pictures make the game look very good graphically. But yeah, just the same problems the previous games had, just getting like long and toothed, it sounds like. So, but anyway, yeah. So that's a Super Bases Loaded game. So, very fun to go back and look at some older baseball games for sure. So. I think I probably enjoy these more than I thought I would, because I thought that, you know, like, even though these games are very old and very dated, the rules haven't really changed all that much. I think that, out of the four major sports, baseball is the one I think is easiest to go back to and play old games of, because the rules have not changed too much in the last 30 years. You know, football, basketball, hockey have all had significant rule changes, updates, the new plays being used, new strategies, that kind of stuff. Baseball, some things have changed in baseball, but fundamentally the game is still the same now as it was 30 years ago. So I think that because of that, sports games of the old baseball type have the best playability factor when it comes like games being played for the first time in, like, 2024.
Yeah.
I think it also helped greatly, like, in that respect. as you might expect, pricing on eBay is pretty cheap because these are like old sports games. But the first game was obviously the one that sold the most because 2 and 3 are harder to find, and the prices also reflect that to a degree. Okay. So it's time doing research. For the first game Super Bases Loaded, I found 101 copies of this game listed on eBay. 14 copies have been sold recently. These prices include shipping. The card only for that game sold anywhere from $6 to $16, and the CIV copy sold anywhere from $29 to $45. So pretty cheap as far as the Super NES games go.
So complete boxed, that is cheap. As far as card only for 16, I feel like that's a little high.
Well, $16 was the high end. $6 like was the low end. So
yeah.
Within that price range, all we can do with this just give you a price range of what these things have sold in the last 9 days.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, you can also go to sites like pricecharting.com to look games up too as well. But because they use bigger, more historical data than this quick snapshot I'm looking at here. So. Super Bases Loaded 2, harder to find, 13 copies with this done online, 3 copies three copies that I recently sold. All three copies that sold recently were card only. They sold for $10, $11, $12. So probably about the same price range as base loaded. Just maybe they pay a few bucks more for it.
Yeah.
No copies of this game CIB sold recently, which is why I said I think this game out of the three of them was the one that sold the least, probably because of, probably because when it came out, as you pointed out earlier. People were asking for $50 this game CIB, which seems fair considering it's a small run. So it's not that much more expensive than what CIB for Super Base Loader 1 and 3 sold for. So I think it's a fair price.
Yeah, that's fair.
Super Base Loader 3 sold a bit more, so it's a bit easier to find. 20 copies of the game listed on eBay, 7 copies sold recently. Again, the car pricing is about the same, $11 to $16. CIB copies sold for about $45.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's about average for a sports game, especially complete a box.
Yeah. And like I said, one obviously sold the most. 2 and 3 did not sell as well for various reasons.
Right.
So 2 and 3 are the ones that are most expensive to find. But and like most sports games, these have never been re-released. So if you want to find them, you have to track down the physical copy. That go play them by the emulation.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some older sports games that were released. Tecmo Bowl got released. I think Nintendo has some of their sports games on Switch. There definitely are some old sports games on the Switch.
Yeah.
I don't remember which ones right now off the top of my head, but there are some on there. So not always, but yeah. So Super Tecmo Bowl, we've made it onto the NES Mini, so it changes how popular the game is. So with some exceptions, you have to go either physical card emulation like these older sports games. So. Anyway, that was a fun look back at some baseball games. Very appropriate since the time of recording this. Baseball season's just getting going here. So
yeah, and if you're a Red Sox fan, baseball season's already over.
hopefully they can improve upon last year. So,
oh man, they don't have a bullpen. Their pitching is horrible. They have no offense with the bats.
For a team that almost made the World Series in 2021, it's pretty sad. So
yeah, but keep in mind, I am not a huge baseball fan, so I'm seeing this from afar. Living in New England, obviously, I see it on my feed all the time. So it's I observe from afar, and with T-Mobile, they give me the MLB app. Free access every year. So I end up watching MLB TV here and there just to kind of catch up on things, usually big games that I see reported on. It's depressing because I said this year was going to be the first year that I was actually going to sit down and kind of follow the Red Sox and see what happens. And yeah, their first couple of games have been hard. So yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that this year.
Baseball has an advantage though of being a very long season.
So, that's true.
It can change a lot between now and the summertime.
Yes. So. And I have always said that baseball doesn't matter until after the All-Star game. So I really should listen to my own advice and wait until after, the 4th of July weekend and the All-Star game and then go from there. But, I just don't have high hopes for the Red Sox this year. And who knows? Maybe they win the series and I'm, apologizing next year. We'll see. But
I agree with you. As long as they improve, upon the record from last year, and look like they have some young talent that they can build up around, I'll be happy.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm saying the same thing about the Patriots this year too, because it's I'm pretty sure they're going to, because the draft's later on this month. I'm pretty sure that they're going to draft a QB.
Yeah.
So it's who are they going to get? And it's going to play last 10 years. Yeah. But at least we have the Celtics and the Bruins.
Yeah. But, as a Raiders fan and a team that has been rebuilding for a good part of 30 years, I really hope the Patriots can turn it around because, you know, they brought a lot of life into that franchise, and then to see it just literally being pissed away is kind of upsetting. But also, like, as a Raiders fan, I completely understand how quickly that can happen.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Especially so. But all right. We're actually covering another sports game. Well, some people like, would consider it to be a sport, but I'm not going to, like, nitpick that point, like, right now. But we're looking at a wrestling game next episode. Actually, it was planned to be more on time for WrestleMania 30, which has happened, but we fell behind for various reasons, so sorry. But we're going to be looking at Saturday Night Slam Masters, which I don't know anything about, so I'm going to be curious to play it. You don't have any experience with this game either yet, Joe, correct?
I do have experience with this game.
You do have experience with this? Okay, all right, so.
Yeah, it's more a fighting game than a wrestling game, but we'll get into that when we cover it.
Okay, all right. Well, maybe that means I'll enjoy it then. So, as always, you can leave comments to us at Facebook group, or you can also send me an email directly to the snespodcast@yahoo.com. We are a proud member of the sorry, try that again. Joe, where can they find you at?
Oh, well, you can find me on X or Twitter if you're a boomer, at JOESUX30. I can also be found on Facebook, very public Facebook, and it's definitely not work safe. Same as my other podcast, The Radical Ultra Roundup, which George and I, this actually just released on Sunday, was an episode on WWF Just Bring It, which is the third game in the SmackDown franchise and the first game on the PS2. So, we've been on a video game kick, and that's changing. Our next episode is actually going to be about Muppet Babies because we've been doing video games, and I'm like, it's called the Radical Rich Roundup for a reason. Like, we don't just do video games. So I've kind of had to pull George on a little bit for that one, but, it is what it is. But, yeah, definitely check out that podcast and, hit us up here.
Sounds good. We are a proud member of, like, the Geek Gaming Network, so feel free to check out their stuff as well, too. Yes. Also about gaming and non-gaming related. And thank you again, as always, for listening. We'll catch you again later, and take care, everybody.
Bye.
Nintendo controls 80% of the video market. But no matter how you play the game or which game you play, things definitely have come a long way since Pac-Man. Now you're playing with power. Deep from power.